I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, RFK Jr. delivers the most important 2 minutes you will hear from any political candidate the entire election cycle.
What most alarms me isn't how the Democratic Party conducts its internal affairs or runs its candidates. What alarms me is the resort to censorship and media control and the weaponization of the federal agency.
Plus, we'll give you an example of something I call press release reporting, and Bob Ferguson is very confused about the issue of price fixing and whether he thinks it's great or he thinks it's terrible. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Something is happening in America right now, and I think it's significant. I think it is going to significantly change America's political system, maybe not overnight, but it is the beginning of that. About 30 minutes ago, former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard came out, you might have seen this news, and said she is officially endorsing former President Donald Trump. She joined him at stage as he was speaking to a group of National Guardsmen. So certainly that's a significant moment. I don't know that it's going to come as a huge surprise to Democrats that Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat who's former Democrat now, who's been very, very critical of the Democratic Party, of the Democratic establishment, of the Democratic Party's movement away from ideals that it used to support. I don't think that it'll surprise Democrats, and they'll act as if it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And it plays into a trend that is growing of Democrats who are starting to wake up to what their party has become. So you guys will know, of course, that RFK Jr. came out last week and threw his support behind former President Donald Trump, said he would suspend active campaigning. And he delivered what I truly believe is the entire 2024 election cycle, the most important 2 minutes that you will have heard from any candidate the entire election cycle. I want to play it for you.
The DNC waged continual legal warfare against both President Trump and myself. Then when a predictably bungled debate performance precipitated the palace coup against President Biden, the same shadowy DNC operatives appointed his successor, Vice President Harris, has not appeared in a single interview or an unscripted encounter with voters for 35 days. This is profoundly undemocratic. How are people to choose when they don't know whom they are choosing? And how can this look to the rest of the world? My father and my uncle were always conscious of America's image abroad because of our nation's role as the template for democracy, a role model for democratic processes, and the leader of the free world. Instead of showing us her substance and character, the DNC and its media organs engineered a surge of popularity for Vice President Harris based upon, well, nothing. No policies, no interviews, no debates, only smoke and mirrors and balloons in a highly produced Chicago circus. How did the Democratic Party choose a candidate that has never done an interview or debate during the entire election cycle? We know the answers. They did it by weaponizing the government agencies. They did it by abandoning democracy. They did it by suing the opposition and by disenfranchising American voters. What most alarms me isn't how the Democratic Party conducts its internal affairs or runs its candidates. What alarms me is the resort to censorship and media control and the weaponization of the federal agency.
I think that will go down in history as one of the most significant statements and indictments of the American political system. 10 years from now, we'll be looking back at the speech that RFK Jr. gave before he came out on stage with former President Donald Trump. And we don't start the show with national news often, but everything he said there, everything he's now standing for, To me, it encapsulates so much of what we discuss on this show, so much of what's happening in our own state here with the efforts from the Democratic Party to undermine our democracy on a regular basis while trying to gaslight voters into only caring about protesters who attempted to undermine the democracy, our democracy 3 years ago in Washington, D.C. And they want to... I mean, the mind control is, the manipulation is astounding. And it's one thing for Republicans to say that. I think a lot of what RFK Jr. said there has been said by Republicans for several years now. The media ecosystem that works in favor of Democrats, efforts from Democrats to surreptitiously or not so surreptitiously undermine our democracy, what they did with installing Vice President Kamala Harris as the party's nominee. Republicans say these things all the time. And I understand that RFK Jr. ran now as an independent, right? I understand that he's kind of an angry former Democrat, and people will say, well, he has reason to be upset with the party. But this is important. This is coming from a Kennedy. And yeah, he might be, you know, persona non grata with members of his own family over this. But that, to me, even proves the point further, that you have members of his immediate family who will come out with these statements about how horrible he is. I mean, a family member, think about that. All because of their loyalty to the Democratic Party and the Democratic establishment. But RFK Jr. is a member of an institutional Democratic family. And he's been a Democrat for all these years. And he is now saying something that Republicans have been saying increasingly so for the last 5 years. And that is significant. I think it is the beginning of waking even Democratic Americans up to what is going on. And it's not just RFK Jr. I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard, who has come out and been very transparent about the same things and this Democrat machine and what they'll do and the lengths they'll go to consolidate their power. But Marianne Williamson, a very progressive Democrat who ran for president in 2020, a relative unknown. So again, the Democrats are going to say, oh, well, she's just sour because her campaign didn't get any traction in 2020. Well, she came out after the RFK speech and she didn't agree with him on everything. And, you know, throwing his support behind Donald Trump, et cetera. But she said after he spoke, her phone blew up from her friends and family members, et cetera, who are Democrats. And, oh, I can't believe RFK Jr. is doing this. And she stopped and she put out a video and she said, look, there are some things he said that need to be said and that are absolutely true, in particular, what he had to say about the media.
The beginning of his talk was about the media and the Democratic establishment and how they have treated him. And I have to support him for that because I know from my own experience that he is 100% correct. Nicole Shanahan did a video that went viral about this the other day. It's true, I'm sorry, it's absolutely true. And when Bobby took off after the journalist and he said, you are undermining our democracy, you are just working as foot soldiers for the political establishment, you have abdicated your appropriate role in a free society, I could not agree more. I thought Bobby said it in an eloquent way, in a powerful way, and once again, from my own experience, not only do I know it's true, but I know how important it is.
Yeah, it's true. 100% it's true. We talk about that. I've discussed how Washington State is really this almost exact duplicate, the ecosystem here. And what's happening, for instance, in our gubernatorial race is almost exactly what's happening at the national level with the Democratic Party. They have their national strategy, the way they handle campaigns, the way they suppress any opposition or dissent, the way they expect and that the media falls in line and does, as RFK Jr. said, acts as their foot soldiers. Now, think about all that RFK Jr. said, Marianne Williamson said about what's happening with the Democratic Party nationally. Now apply that to Washington State and think about it here. We have a Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, and you look at the lengths to which the Democratic Party in our state worked to suppress any dissent against his campaign, namely State Senator Mark Mullett, a more moderate Democrat, absolutely shut out as this corporate Democrat, Republican, in disguise. He's not even one of us. They sold their endorsement to Bob Ferguson for $1 million. They made the cost of it $1 million because they knew that State Senator Mark Mullett didn't have $1 million to give them, even if he wanted to buy the the party's endorsement. So you see all of that. And then you see the media ecosystem and what's happening right now in our state with Bob Ferguson versus Dave Reichert. The media are acting as the foot soldiers for Bob Ferguson. They play into his campaign strategy every single day. Almost every interview Dave Reichert has done, in-depth interview on the campaign, they bring up Donald Trump. Why won't you tell us if you're going to vote for Donald Trump? They talk about abortion, even though he's been asked and answered on abortion a million times. No, I'm not going to override the will of the people. I'm not going to take any steps to restrict abortion rights, period. He said it a million times, but they still ask. And I guarantee you at the first debate coming up, it'll be one of the first questions. And it's been asked and answered. But they are working as foot soldiers for Bob Ferguson. And it should be the opposite. Bob Ferguson is one of the most powerful politicians in the state. There are endless things in his track record that the media should be pressing him on, but he's not. And as proof of that, and we're going to talk about this in depth on the show tomorrow, Bob Ferguson just dropped out of an October debate that was going to be held by the Washington State Debate Coalition. That's the coalition that has always done the more official debates, the formal debates, the debates that you have a wide representation of media outlets there that are the most widely broadcast. He dropped out of that in favor of a debate being held coming up on September 10th that's being hosted by the two news agencies in the state that have given him the most deference, the two news agencies in the state that have acted as foot soldiers for his campaign, King 5 News and the Seattle Times. Every time Bob Ferguson wants to get some little piece of audio that one of his trackers collected of Dave Reichert saying something outrageous on the campaign trail, who does he send it to? The Seattle Times and reporter Jim Bruner. Well, who is going to be the moderator representing the Seattle Times at the September 10th debate? Jim Bruner. So this is someone who's acted as a foot soldier for Bob Ferguson's campaign, and now he's going to be a moderator in the debate for governor, the first gubernatorial debate. And the same thing with King 5 News. King 5 News has shown no interest in holding Bob Ferguson accountable for his many lies on the campaign trail, for his many failures on the public safety front, not at all. They have acted as foot soldiers for his campaign. Now they're being rewarded with a gubernatorial debate, and Bob Ferguson has now refused to participate in what would have been the most fair gubernatorial debate, and he can do it because the media does not hold him accountable. So it's a perfect illustration what's happening nationally versus what's happening in Washington State. And I, you know, you look at now RFK Jr., Marianne Williamson, Tulsi Gabbard, Democrats who have saw fit to point out what's in some cases wrong with their former party or their current party. And all this stuff that Republicans have been saying for so long is happening. I'm telling you, this is such a significant moment in American politics. And it's going to be a significant moment in American history. Americans are ready for independence from the two-party system. Polling has shown that for several years, that Americans are fed up with both political parties, they're fed up with the system, and I believe that Americans, their access to information on social media, for instance, I don't know how much longer the Democratic Party in particular can keep its grip on the minds of Americans, because there are so many Democrats who are still absolutely brainwashed into either not seeing or choosing not to see the things the Democratic Party says it stands for, things it says it stands against, and then in reality what they're doing. I can name just a couple examples from the Democratic National Convention. They have speakers that get up there, and even Michelle Obama, a millionaire, saying, oh, you know, my dad warned us against people who took more than they needed, and they're talking bad about billionaires. And then they have the governor of Illinois, who's a billionaire, stands up on stage, and they act like that's not a complete departure from those two things. They had someone on stage attacking J.D. Vance for, oh, he went to an Ivy League school and he's not this, you know, poor kid that he pretends to be. And then they have someone on stage who's bragging about all the hard work he put into to get to an Ivy League school. So they say they stand against something. They attack Republicans for something. Then they turn around and do the exact same thing. And RFK Jr., I think, is the most meaningful and eloquent way that's ever been described in those 2 minutes a video. And I do want to note one thing, because I think this factors into this whole, again, I'm an independent. There's a reason for that. I don't like the two parties. And you might say, well, Brandy, you endorse Republican candidates. You have this year donated to support Republican candidates. You go to Republican events. You speak to Republican events. That's because I see the exact same thing that RFK Jr. saw and is now warning Americans about. I see how dangerous the consolidation of Democratic Party control is. I see the Democratic Party saying one thing and doing another thing. I see them saying over and over and over, trying to drill it into the minds of Washingtonians that Republicans are a threat to our democracy. Well, they do things almost on a weekly basis that are a threat to our democracy, like suing to keep Donald Trump and RFK Jr. off the ballot in Washington state, like encouraging the harassment of lawful signature gatherers in Washington state, like Bob Ferguson asking the Secretary of State to break election law on his behalf. So I might not agree with Republicans on everything, but I have sided with them in 2024 because Democrats are that dangerous. The consolidation of Democratic Party control in our state is that dangerous and detrimental to our democracy. And if we don't stand in the way of it now, if we don't stand up to them now, then I don't know what the next 10 years are going to look like. And that is similar to what RFK Jr. is doing in siding with Trump to try to avoid a Kamala Harris presidency, and to try to send a message to Americans about the dangers of what the Democratic Party is doing. So I think there's a couple things that excite me about this. I really do believe it's going to be meaningful and that it is going to wake a lot of Americans up, maybe not right away, but over time, about what's happening in this country. And also there's an opportunity here to, I guess, set up future independent campaigns for success. So one thing RFK Jr. made clear when he gave his speech announcing he was suspending active campaigning is that he's not actually ending his campaign for president. He will still be on the ballot in many states. Here's a clip.
Oh, I want everyone to know that I am not terminating my campaign. I am simply suspending it and not ending it. My name will remain on the ballot in most states. If you live in a blue state, you can vote for me without harming or helping President Trump or Vice President Harris. In red states, the same will apply. I encourage you to vote for me.
So he has a campaign still. He hasn't ended his presidential campaign, but in swing states, he has removed his name from the ballot. So that leaves this question of, is there a strategy here in reliably blue and reliably red states for voters who are sick and tired of the two-party system to send a message? And personally for me, it has left me thinking a lot over the weekend about that personally. So there's this Kennedy account on Twitter, like an account for his fans and stuff. And I want to read what they said, because, again, I think it raises a question about, should Trump supporters in a blue state like Washington consider voting for RFK Jr.? It says, understanding the strategy of Kennedy's alliance with Donald Trump. It says, take a look at MapEgg. If you live in a blue state and were thinking about voting for Kennedy or Trump, I would highly consider you vote for Kennedy if he appears on your ballot. Trump does not need your state to win. If you live in a red state and were considering voting for Kennedy, but now you've decided not to vote at all, still vote for Bobby if he appears on your state's ballot. If RFK Jr. gets 5% of the vote, he can form his own party in 2028 and not have to go through everything he went through this year to get on the ballots, and can just focus on campaigning. If you live in a yellow state and you are planning on voting for Kennedy, vote for Trump. So this is, and again, I came out in July and I said, I'm voting for Donald Trump. And I'm not saying I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump anymore. But there is an opportunity to send a message to the two parties, Democrats in particular, and to also set up a future independent campaign for success. RFK Jr. spent a lot of time during the 2024 election cycle just trying to get his volunteers to be able to do enough to get his name on the ballot in all these states. But if he reaches 5%, it makes a future campaign in 2028 much easier. It sends a message to both political parties, frankly. But it also opens up federal campaign matching, which is something that, so basically, if you reach a certain threshold, there are federal dollars that can match donations for campaigns. So it's one of, I think, it's a system that is designed to keep the two parties, you know, with their duopoly of the system. But if you can open that up to an independent movement, it not only sends a message, but it could be life-changing for America. I really believe if you can just pry this duopoly apart. So that is, I think, a legitimate question. Nicole, I'm curious what you think about this, because you're like Trump all the way, and I've been a latecomer to Donald Trump. But Donald Trump will never win Washington, right? He's just not going to. And so we know that Kamala Harris is going to get all of Washington's 12 delegates. But if you, so, you know, do you vote for Trump just out of like principle because that's your guy, right? Or do you say it doesn't matter, so I'm going to give it to Kennedy to help him reach 5% of the popular vote?
I don't know. It's hard because I think that by you saying that Trump has no chance, you're saying Dave Reichert has no chance either. Because if enough people get out and vote Dave Reichert, I think there's a chance they also vote Trump. And if he can win, then maybe Trump can win. And I'm not a daydreamer, but I guess I kind of am. But I actually feel this. I don't know. The air in Washington is really frustrated right now. And I really believe it's a matter of turnout for Washington on whether Dave Reichert can win. And again, whether that can. And I mean, it's pretty high hopes for Donald Trump to actually win. But like to actually make an impact, to be like, this is how close that a Republican presidential candidate could come to taking our delegates, because they're so frustrated with this blue wave, or this blue state right now.
I mean, so, but I think it could have the opposite effect too, though, right? Because there are some independent voters who hate Trump and Harris and who might just want to sit out, and then they wouldn't vote for Dave Reichert because they're not filling in a ballot. So now if they have a reason, a real motivating factor to turn out because they want to help RFK Jr. get above that 5% of the popular vote, then they might vote for someone like Dave Reichert as opposed to not turning in a ballot at all.
Sure. That's not me, though, because I would turn out regardless. So
100%.
I think that's why I would probably still go Trump, because I want it to be known. I'm tired of this here. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's, if you absolutely cannot bring yourself to vote for Trump, then you should. Right now, we're not to the point that you're hoping we get to in 2028. And I don't know. I get it. But I struggle with that, because I do want it known, and I would love to see some surprise red or blue state go red, because they're not falling for the scam.
And I think the blue states they've pointed to are states that, like, the chances of them going for Trump are so low. And so I get that fear of like, oh, God, what if like too many of us, you know, whatever it is. But
I don't know enough about other states to know how they're broke up. But see, ours, this, you know, because it's such the small area that just, you know, tells everybody else what we have to be in this state. I just, someday I would like to see it flip back. And we were just recently educated on how recent it was red, right? And so I don't know.
How to recent me, it was, no not hope. Not red, but how recent it was considered a swing state, like in the you know, recent past. But it's interesting. I mean, it's not like you'd have to have a really coordinated, widespread movement to say, okay, Trump people vote for RFK and this. But, you know, he only needs 5% of the popular vote. And so, you know, a few people who were never particularly fond of Donald Trump still plan to vote anyway. Like, that's me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was, and I'm right now at this very moment, if you ask me, I'm still voting for Donald Trump because I'm still working this all over in my brain. But there's a lot of people who watch this show who don't like Donald Trump and obviously don't like Kamala Harris and who are just in this position where it's like, well, I got to vote for the lesser of the two evils. And I think that's an exciting opportunity to say, if you are really independent-minded and you want to send a message to both the parties about your dissatisfaction with the current system, RFK offers, you know, you're not threatening. Now he's taken himself out of the position of being a potential spoiler, because he cannot be a spoiler in swing states. He's removed his name from the ballot. Mm-hmm. So that fear of why I wouldn't have considered RFK Jr. in the first place has evaporated, right?
Right. But what, I mean, we preach vote for the policies and what they're going to do over the personality all the time. And I probably wouldn't vote for RFK's policies. I don't really agree with a lot of them. So that I think that's maybe where I struggle, because again, you'd be voting for exactly what I tell people not to vote for. Like, just pick the policies, which is going to make your life better. But this one or this one.
But I think a disruption of the two-party system will make all of our lives exponentially better. And that is a policy in a way, to say, like, you know, we're going to, as a country, move on. It has to happen. If it's going to happen, it has to be incremental. We've discussed this before. There has to be incremental victories to move us away. It's not going to be overnight, like somebody runs for president as an independent and they just they're like so overwhelmingly popular that they're just the president of the United States. Like, that's just not going to happen, right? And so it's just this interesting, like, it's an opportunity, I think, actually to not spoil the election, not hand it over to Kamala Harris, but to send a message to both parties in the process, to allow Trump to win, but to send a message to the parties in the process of doing that.
I'm not sure. I guess part of my hesitation is also that I'm not sure we're ready for a true independent, because I mean, the reason that, or, you know, one of the reasons that the party system is because you can align beliefs and you can be like, this person most is, you know, aligned with me. Yeah. And that's why I pick Republican or Democrat, right? Because you're picking the person that's most aligned with your values. And when you get a bunch of independent candidates, that's going to be it's going to be hard to pick.
Actually do research.
Well, no, I mean, it will be impossible, right? Because no one's going to, like, I mean, RFK, for example, he's got some things over here and some things over here. So how do you pick, right?
You do your research. We just talked about this 2 weeks ago on the show, that we should remove party affiliation from the ballot altogether, so people don't just blindly, like.
Yeah, but those people still have those affiliations. You just don't get told about them. So you have to do your research. But that, what I'm saying is, you're going to have to pick, like, oh, do I want war or do I not want abortion? Or, like, you're going to have to go super one way or the other. Whereas I think that's, I mean, you know, part of the reason there are parties, so you can be like, okay, this person most aligns with me, rather than dozen on this case. Like, it'd be very, I'm not sure that. I don't know.
I have faith in Americans.
It's not Americans. It's the people that run for office, right? Yeah. So I think we're stuck with Trump and Kamala because, like, that's the only people willing to do this right now, because it's such an ugly show that they are getting into, right? And I just don't know. I don't know if they're ready for people to. I mean, you're going to have these extremes on both sides, and it's just going to be chaos. Whereas
we need chaos.
Could be like,
it's chaos right now.
We need balance, not
it's chaos
not
right now.
Chaos. No,
chaos can restore order.
No, I think it's unbalanced right now. But I think that balance is where it comes back and makes sense, because you're like, well, that doesn't work here, but I'll give you this and I'll give you that, whatever. But if you just have chaos, I'm not sure how we get. Yeah. For sure, nothing gets done, but maybe wrong things get done.
But you can admit that things aren't great right now, that our political system is not.
Oh, of course. But that's not, I think that's because people are uninformed. I think we're all selfish and we're all uninformed. I mean, for speaking as America, we're this very entitled nation at this point, and we've all forgotten where our values and our core lie, and we're looking to attack, and we're all the victim. And I think that's a societal problem more than a political problem. Mm. I mean, it did work for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that it's us that have gotten away from what. Like, I've said this before, but back when there was church, you had this, like, core value and you could all unite around something. We don't have anything right now that we unite around. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, nothing.
Yeah. It used to be like military. Nope, can't do that
anymore.
Nope,
can't do that.
But, you know, maybe we can unite around destroying the two-party system and doing something better for the country and forcing people to be informed voters. And I would also point out that the structure of the two parties is ridiculous as we look at them right now. You have parties that have, on the Democratic side, everyone from AOC to Joe Manchin. Those are two completely different people. Mm-hmm. They share less in common than Joe Manchin would with a Republican at this point. And then you have the same thing on the Republican side. You've got Matt Gaetz all the way to, like, Liz Cheney. Like, that doesn't make sense either.
Right.
And so they're I get the whole big party thing. Oh, and I get
and
that.
And so their states are more that way, and that balances out the whole system of red and blue and whatever. Yeah. And I don't like it, but that doesn't mean it it's not part of the balance, I guess. And then I would say that Trump is an example of somebody, and I know that he is seen as obviously far right because that's what we've made him, but I don't think it's true at all. And he's not a politician. And that's exactly what we were all asking for before it was Trump.
Yeah.
We were saying, how about a non-politician that just gets in there and does things for as a businessman and as a father and all these things? Oh, but wait, we don't like that one.
Yeah. But you could have someone like Trump who's an independent, who ran outside a party system that they feel in one way or another mm-hmm. beholden to. And then you have all these people who are like, oh, well, he's a Republican and I've got this system around him. And even Donald Trump, mm-hmm. even Donald Trump is beholden to the Republican Party mm-hmm. and that system and that structure.
Sure.
And so someone even, I consider him independent-minded because he's not scared to like call out fellow Republicans or whatever it is, but he's still beholden to that structure. And so like you can have, I think, because one of the, for instance, I thought Mark Mullett should have run as an independent.
Right.
But the way it works right now, the structure, the voter rolls, the donors, all of that stuff that you need to run a major campaign, the parties have it, and they won't give, then you can't have it as an independent, right? So if you had like a Mark Mullett who could run as an independent and it wouldn't just inherently give him a disadvantage, I think he would have probably been governor.
Oh,
because
I don't think
the
so at
Democratic
all.
Party, in, I'm talking about in another world like 10 years from now, because the Democratic Party couldn't have used all of their internal resources to silence his campaign. And so it's like you rely on these parties and for people, I think it would have more. Anyway, we can move on from this. I think it would allow more normal people to be in politics. Because there are a lot of normal, good people who don't like either mm-hmm. party. And if they could run as an independent and have some semblance of a structure around them, could excel. And right now, the parties don't want that. Remember, they're corporations.
Yeah.
And as much as Democrats don't want that, Republicans don't want it either. You think the Republican Party wants there to be a successful independent movement?
No.
Of course not.
No. I think what's missing... No, like I said, I just don't think that... We can handle it at this point. Society
yes,
has
we can.
Gone.
I can't believe you don't think we can handle it. Even if we can't handle it, at least, because right now you're saying like, let's stay the course. Let's stay the course of like despair, shitty politicians, two parties that hate America because like Americans can't handle change.
No,
they can't handle
show
this
me
right
that
now
they can
either.
Be civil. I like civility has, I mean,
if
with
nothing
media,
changes,
all of
how
those
would
things,
they all of a sudden be civil?
Well, I mean, it's the whole system, right? It's a media. It's like you've got to get all these people on board to embrace an independent candidate, or it's just going to be as ugly as it is with it'll just be divided by three instead of two.
Yeah,
right?
But that would be better, wouldn't it? Because then you don't have Democrats and Republicans like you're evil, you're evil. Well, now you
just
have
depends
this,
on who runs.
You have these independents mm-hmm. in, and now it can't just be about like black and white. Like you have to actually consider a third party that, as you pointed out earlier, could run the gamut. Like, you could have an independent candidate who's an RFK. You could have an independent candidate who aligns more closely with Republican ideals. So how are you going to automatically vilify them as like, oh, right wing. Oh, you're a socialist Marxist.
Oh, but they will.
Well,
but even if they don't, they will.
It won't be as
even
sincere.
If that won't be the...
It would make it more difficult.
It might make it more difficult, but I don't put it past them figuring out a way to demonize.
I am surprised the extent to which you're defending the two-party system right now.
You know,
what do we stand
for
on this show? I was like, this is what we stand for.
I like independent thought. No, and like I said, for me, it's more of a, I'm not sure we can handle it right now. And I don't know, that's where I am. And I want to show... I guess I like that we're such a blue state and they don't even think we have a chance at all of these things. And I really hope that changes in November and Dave Reichert wins and we like at least put a dent in the Trump, you know, at least make him a little nervous. Like, wow, that was a lot of people to show up for Trump. Right. Yeah. Just make a dent, even if he doesn't get get the majority. But I have faith in people. You know, recognizing where the Democratic Party is trying to go and where the Republican Party is trying to take us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Dave Reichert is the independent candidate. Absolutely. For independence.
And
that's
the thing is, like, you can do your research and recognize that, and you don't, and then you just pick the one that mostly aligns with you. If he was MAGA and Ferguson was more in the middle, then maybe we'd vote Democrat. But we're picking people that are this crazy, right? And like you said, he's more independent and he still is running as a Republican.
Right. And that gives them that automatic, like, oh, MAGA Republican bad. And it automatically taps into that really stupid brainwashed fear that Democrats have that, oh, if it's a Republican, how many, you just talked about your friend the other day. Mm-hmm. I can't vote for a Republican right now.
Right.
Okay. Well, if it's an independent who's the exact same person with the exact same beliefs, that somehow makes it better. And for a lot of people, it does. So anyway,
the problem is that mentality that you're talking about, though.
But I don't know that that will ever change until you can give people a reason to break free from it. Because now it's a binary choice. Mm-hmm. Right now it is. But if you have another option in there where you actually have to say, well, they're independent, you've got a Republican and a Democrat running, then you have an independent. Like, mm-hmm. who are they? What do they stand for? Mm-hmm. I think it forces Americans to think more.
I like the idea. I like your dream.
Oh, let me dream a dream, Nicole. Stop crapping on my dreams. Somebody said I swore. I didn't swear.
Oh, yeah, you did.
What did I say?
The S-H word.
Oh. Wow, it really just rolls out now. It really just rolls out, and I just am a terrible human being.
I'm like, wow, she threw that in just to argue with me on that one.
Well, here I am. I think we're a show that stands for, like, just like hates the two parties. And now I found out I have a producer who's absolutely like licking boots of Republicans.
No, it's not like I love either one. I just am not sure that people are taking as much pride in our country right now that they should and would take that at what it's worth.
Yeah. So. The parties have an insane, unhealthy control over people's brains. They really, truly do. Yeah. I mean, and the same goes for people who will support Donald Trump at all costs.
People are too susceptible to it.
He can't do anything wrong. Like, I can't even condemn anything he does that's obviously wrong. It's like, yeah, no, I'm going to vote for the guy. At the same time, like, he does and says some stuff that's so dumb. And it's like, that's fine, you know, but it's this idea that, like, oh, my God, Kamala Harris, like, struts out. And, oh, her speech was so good and she's so smart. It's like, no, she's not. No, she's not. No. Like, isn't it embarrassing? Let me talk to you.
That's what's hard, is to look at it and not see.
Aren't you, not you guys, you know, I'm looking past you at the bowels of the internet. Aren't you embarrassed to be so brainwashed in favor of one political party, be it Republicans or Democrats? Does that not embarrass you? That you can't even think for yourself? That you are just the absolute, a bootlicker for a political party that doesn't care about you at all.
You're assuming they only care about the party.
I'm looking past. I'm not talking about you. I was just angry for a second. I love you. And I don't think you're a bootlicker for the Republicans.
Okay, good.
But I'm looking past our intelligent, independent-minded, smart viewers and listeners who all, of course, agree with me. And none of them agree with Nicole that this would be a great opportunity for an independent movement in America. I'm just kidding. There's people on the chat who agree with you. And to the other people who are so beholden to that's embarrassing. It's like, what do the kids call it? That is so cringe. That is so cringe to be that beholden to a political party that it can do no wrong. How embarrassing is that?
I'm absolutely totes with cringe. You on that. Both parties totes do a cringe. Lot of wrong. It's just that, like I said, I don't think everyone just votes because they're Republican. I think that most align with their beliefs.
It's 12:38.
I know.
Oh my God, it's 12:38. We have lost it.
Rolling.
I told you, it's the most important 2 minutes that any political candidate has spoken in the 2024 election cycle, maybe even in my lifetime.
Oh, I just...
is to lay it out like that.
Wish people would listen. Yes.
I wish people would listen, but I think it's the beginning of trying to wake up independent-minded people to do something about it. To not feel hopeless and helpless that we have these two parties, we can't do anything to break up the duopoly. We can. But you just have to be willing to take those steps. And this is a perfect opportunity where you're not going to influence the outcome. You always talk about, I want to vote third party, but I don't want to be a spoiler. Well, RFK has given you an opportunity to do one without the other. To vote for an independent candidate without spoiling the results of the November election. And I think it's a completely unique opportunity. And I'm curious how many of you are interested in taking advantage of it. Let's skip this this next thing. We can maybe throw it on the show tomorrow. Is that all right? Sorry, I've got to just rehash my life here because I just went 40 minutes ranting about it's one of the only issues I care about. To be frank, I mean, okay, sorry. We can talk more about it in comments. All right, we're going to talk about Bob Ferguson. Apparently, he likes price fixing sometimes, but not all the time. Just depends on who's doing the price fixing. First, Natchez RV Resort had its Phase 2 grand opening this past weekend. Extra large RV lot starting at $79.9. They've still got some lots in Phase 2 available. I mean, this place is beautiful. If you've got an RV, this is absolutely it. I mean, they got a dog park. They got pickleball courts, which is... In case you're not familiar, it's like tennis for people who don't want to work out that much. Tennis is hard, man. Tennis requires a lot of cardio. Pickleball, smaller court, a little less so, a lot of fun. They just also opened their 4,300 square foot clubhouse. So imagine that. You have friends out to visit you. You can hang out in the clubhouse, gourmet kitchen. They've got a gym. They've got showers. They're just finishing up the pool. They've got a hot tub. This place is absolutely beautiful. And there's a million things to do around the resort, from nearby wine tasting, hunting, fishing, hiking trails, all of it. It's such a cool spot. So check them out. NatchezRVResort.com. NatchezRVResort.com. And if you buy a lot, you do have to invite Nicole and I out. They are extending that grand opening Phase 2 pricing too. So they've got extra large RV lots starting from just $79.9. And when you're not using your lot, they have a system where they can rent it out for you. So something to think about. Okay, Bob Ferguson says that he is going after evil landlords who are using a system to price fix. This is something that was brought up, you'll recall, by Vice President Kamala Harris, now on the campaign trail for the presidency, where she unveiled her economic plan. And one of the things in her economic plan, as we discussed on the show, was to try to prevent big conglomerate landlords from using this software where they're all fixing their prices at about the same rate. And she says that's happening. I don't know the extent to which that's actually happening with the big companies. And then I also am not sure that I even care. Because you're talking about a product, essentially, right? You're providing a place for someone to live. People will either pay the rate or they won't. And so I think that's where the free market kicks in and says, okay, if you're for some reason using this software that kind of tells you, well, gosh, the big conglomerate across the way, they have their rents here, so we know we can at least bring them up here. You know, the free market will eventually kick in. And if you end up with a bunch of unrented units, you know that the rent is what? The rent is too damn high. But anyway, Bob Ferguson just cannot allow the free market to do its thing. So he is filing an antitrust lawsuit asserting RealPage helps landlords conspire to inflate rental prices in Washington. Here's a press release from the Attorney General's office. It says, the lawsuit accuses RealPage of sharing competitively sensitive, non-public data through its software with competing landlords to help them raise rents to maximize profits. An estimated 800,000 leases in Washington were priced using RealPage revenue management software since 2017. One potential RealPage client called the company's model classic price fixing. Okay, keep that in mind. The lawsuit asserts that RealPage uses non-public competitive sensitive data it collects from landlords to feed its algorithm, which produces coordinated pricing recommendations to maximize the profits of all its landlord users. The stated goal is to reduce competition and increase profits. The lawsuit asserts RealPage's software products, AI Revenue Management, YieldStar, and LRO often recommend rents that remain the same or increase even when occupancy is decreasing and landlords are having trouble filling units. In a competitive market, low occupancy rates often produces lower rents. So we could talk about some of the things that don't make sense about that statement at all, because again, then that landlord or the management company isn't going to stay in business very long, because if you have a point in time where you have low occupancy rates, but you're using this software that's saying, hey, you should still boost rent. What management company you think is going to do that? Oh, we're not renting out any units. We've got, you know, 50% occupancy rate, but this software is telling us we should still raise our rents and that'll help us. That'll help us fill units. That's just stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all. So this whole concept is just ridiculous. I mean, any landlord who wants, at the end of the day, they're going to make more money on a unit that's rented a little bit below, you know, where they wanted to be versus a unit that sits empty and rents for $0. That's the free market, right? But Bob Ferguson doesn't want the free market to do its thing unless, of course, it's grocery stores. So Bob Ferguson is a big fan of Vice President Kamala Harris and of her campaign. He tweeted out a picture of them when she was recently in Seattle on the tarmac, and he said, "We're not going back." And he hasn't hid that he supports Kamala Harris's campaign for president, and that's fine. That's not a surprise. He's a Democrat. She's a Democrat. Not like he's going to support Donald Trump. I don't think that's a surprise. But one thing that we know was part of Kamala Harris's economic plan was price fixing. In favor of price fixing. Price fixing the cost of food at grocery stores. So here you have Bob Ferguson, who's opposed to landlords price fixing, in his words, but he's totally in favor of the government price fixing the cost of food, which we know would have a disastrous impact on supply, would ultimately, I mean, maybe even lead to bread lines or some version of bread lines. And it's just terrible economic policy. Now, how do I know he actually supports his plan from Kamala Harris to fix the price of food at grocery stores? Technically, I'll be honest, I don't know for sure. However, we reached out to Bob Ferguson's office this morning, his official, you know, office of Attorney General. And we asked him, like, hey, you know, he has this price-fixing lawsuit, anti-price-fixing for landlords. Does he support Kamala Harris's plan to price-fix the cost of food? And we got a response that said, that sounds like a campaign issue, so reach out to his campaign, which we did. But of course, what did Bob Ferguson's campaign tell us several months ago when we had reached out to it for comment? That they would not be responding to any of our requests for comment to the campaign, because I personally support Dave Reichert for governor. And so because I have a different opinion, and because on this show we are critical of some of the things that Attorney General Bob Ferguson has done in office or said on the campaign trail, they're not going to respond to our request for comment. So that puts us in quite a pickle, right? We have a legitimate question. Would you not say that that's a legitimate question that he should be willing to answer? Like, hey, you're suing landlords over price fixing, but you're supporting a presidential candidate who wants to engage in price fixing for food. So those two things seem like they're in conflict with one another. I mean, at the same time, though, what I will say is in both of them, there are assaults on the free market, right? So he doesn't want the free market to do its thing for landlords, and they also don't want the grocery stores to be able to do their thing and set prices at a place where they're making a profit, where they can afford to continue to operate, etc. So it's just very interesting. So that the two positions are in conflict in some ways, they're aligned in other ways. But, you know, at the same time, Bob Ferguson, he supports the CCA. So he doesn't want to repeal the CCA, which we know is increasing the cost of goods at grocery stores because it's increasing the cost of gasoline. So he supports a president who thinks grocery prices are too high, so let's just artificially set a level for them where they have to be. The government should be setting prices, essentially. But at the same time, he supports a policy that will continue to push up prices at the grocery store. I would also note that as Attorney General, he hasn't done anything to help landlords who are dealing with an insane eviction process. I mean, Bob Ferguson is the state's chief law enforcer. He sues a variety of people all the time. But he has done nothing to help manage the environment that has sent rents sky high and that has increased costs for landlords. You know, he hasn't done anything to challenge some of the regulations for builders, which has increased the cost of building housing units, apartment units. He hasn't done anything, you know, with some of the environmental regulations that have and will increase costs for landlords and homeowners that ultimately increases the price of rent. And then you've got some landlords who are dealing with eviction laws that they'll have somebody living in their house for 2 years, like it's happening in Bellevue, and not paying rent. Well, what do you think is going to happen when that person eventually gets evicted? Well, the landlord is either going to, you know, raise rents to try to compensate for the losses that they incurred, or they're just going to sell that unit and it's going to be out of the rental market entirely, which reduces available units, which does what? Increases rents. So it seems like Bob Ferguson, you know, he doesn't have a consistent view on these things. It's like landlord price fixing, bad, because landlords are bad and evil, you know? The government price fixing, very good. It just doesn't make any sense in the world. Honestly, that could have been an unbelievable segment today, but I have an even better unbelievable segment for you coming up next. But that segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to get alerted to opportunities to get involved, to try to advocate for a little bit of a course correction in Washington State on some of these issues like public safety, like the economy. All right. I have talked before about something I call press release reporting, and it is a horrible trend that is happening more and more often in the media. I found what I have to say is the worst example of press release reporting I've ever seen. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. All right, so I saw this article come out over the weekend, and it's kind of, Nicole and I were struggling with how to tell this story today, because I'm like, well, the only way you can really understand how egregious this is if I read the whole story to you. So thankfully, it's a pretty short story, but I feel the need to read most of it to you so you can understand exactly what I mean by press release reporting. So this story came out from MyNorthwest.com. The headline, How Washington Residents Can Get $200 Toward Their Electric Bills. So this is, of course, talking about something we've discussed on the show, which is Governor Inslee trying to bribe voters with $200 of their own money, saying, hey, we're giving you a $200 credit on your electric bill, and this is coming to you courtesy of the wonderful, fantastic Climate Commitment Act, which, of course, voters are going to have a chance to repeal in November. So the whole thing is clear bribery. They're just giving you a $200 credit toward your account, but they've taken way more money from you as a result of the Climate Commitment Act over the last year and a half. So it's all just insane. But let me, so keep in mind, of course, you guys know what's happening in the background of all of this, that this is entirely political. It's just your own money being given back to you as a bribe to keep you from voting yes on the initiatives in November. So again, I'm going to read this story basically in full to you. It's just wild. Washington residents can make money this month with just the tap of a phone screen or a click of the mouse. The Washington Families Clean Energy Credit Grants Program is providing up to 675,000 Washington households with $200 off their electricity bills thanks to the Climate Commitment Act. According to the Washington State Department of Commerce, the Clean Energy Credits Program is supported by $150 million from the CCA. The credits will help low and moderate income families with energy costs. The department said there are enough funds for about 20% of all residential electricity customers in the state. Those who qualify as low income get the priority. And then there's a quote from the Department of Commerce's website. And then it says, the spokesman review in Spokane reported Sunday this program has already provided $200 credits to 50,000 low-income families in eastern Washington. In addition, more than half of northeastern Washington counties receive automatic approval. Then it has a quote from a woman who is getting this $200 credit, and she says, I'm disabled and I'm elderly, and that means I can't work extra hours or, you know, I can't earn extra income anywhere. I have to budget everything. So now you have this woman who's being quoted and she's talking about how great this $200 credit is. And then it tells you how to get it. Residents can apply for the credit and see if they qualify at wacleanenergycredits.com. It says, however, each electricity provider asks for different information. And then it goes through, you know, Seattle City Light, for instance, will need your account number, your billing address, Tacoma Public Utilities. Well, you know, they'll go to they get a website where you can apply if you're a TPU customer, blah, 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 Snohomish. So it's a explanation of exactly how to do it. But then it says this, but don't wait. The deadline to apply for the credit is September 15th. The Department of Commerce said residents can look for further information in their utility billing statements. That is a news story. That's a news story on a news website. I saw that and I read it. And I genuinely thought, this wasn't a joke, I went to, so on their Facebook page, it's Cairo News Radio's Facebook page, but they're the same as MyNorthwest.com. They posted the story on Facebook, and I commented below it. And this was not like a joke. It was a genuine question. Is this a government-sponsored segment? So I thought it was very likely, given that article, that Washington state government purchased some sort of ad. They did some sort of ad buy where there would be kind of a sponsored post that would look like a news story, but it's actually an advertisement. And I had looked, like, I searched all around that article on the website, like, is there any mention of this being an ad? Does it say ad in the corner? Does it say promoted promotion or something like that? I didn't see anything. So I asked them on their Facebook page, this has to be a government-sponsored segment. It's just insane. Now, I didn't get a response to that. However, about a day later, MyNorthwest.com updated their story. They put an editor's note on there. Additional context and perspective about the grant program providing the rebates to utility customers have been included to accompany the version of this story originally posted Friday, August 23rd. And they added this segment in the middle of the story I just read to you, saying critics have spoken out over the timing of this rebate, and included the information they should have included to begin with. You know, the fact that this is really suspicious, that this is just bribing you with your own money, comment from Brian Haywood with Let's Go Washington and things that he said about this. So this is how the story should have appeared originally. But that first story is the best example that you will ever see, probably, of press release reporting. And it's happening way too much in the media. And I think there's a lot of things that are to blame for that. Bias a little bit, laziness a lot, low staffing is a big one. So we dealt with this at Fox 13. You'd have government entities and, you know, bombarding you with these press releases of all these great things that you did. And it's easy for them that they did. And it's easy for newsrooms to say, hey, let's throw this on the news. And you basically just take the press release and you make it a new, you copy paste, make a few changes. And now all of a sudden it's a news story. Because content's king, right? And they need, you know, you're in those situations and you're pressured. We got to get stories up, got to get stories on the news, all this. Well, this is easy. They packaged up a story for you, sent you a press release, and you just took it and you put it on the website with no journalistic criticality whatsoever. And in this case, they got called out for it. And I think that's probably why they changed the story, so that it reflected even a little bit some semblance of journalism. But that's insane. I mean, think about that. That went out, you know, on their website, on their social media pages. And you think about people who are just reading that, who, you know, aren't like critical news readers, but they see it and they're like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm going to apply for this $200 credit, which I suggest you do, by the way. Let me be clear. 100% apply for this credit, because that $150 million that's funding it, that's your money that they took from you through the CCA. That's your money that you've paid through higher prices at the gas pump, through higher prices at the grocery store, and you should get it back. I want every single one of you to apply for this $200 credit on your utility bill if you haven't gotten already. And then I want you, I hope you will, turn around and vote yes to all the initiatives in November and repeal the CCA. Like, hey, Jay, thanks for my money back. Still going to repeal the CCA. So by all means, I think this is just fine that MyNorthwest.com wants to do a story telling people how they can apply for this energy credit. But it is not a news story if you do not do any journalistic anything to point out to people what this is all about. So press release reporting, always be on the lookout for it. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, we're going to get to a little bit of national news coming up next. I do realize that, man, I started the show with a whopper of a rant. If you are in the market to sell your home, highly suggest reaching out to a few real estate agents, asking them, what can you do for me, right? But make sure that one of them is Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com. One of our wonderful viewers, Sharona Rhodes, her and her husband were looking to sell their home. They did just that. They checked out a few real estate agents, but they ultimately settled with Wes, in part because he has something called Listing Boost Concierge Service. And in their case, they needed some upgrades to their home. So he fronted them $10,000 to make the necessary upgrades to be able to get higher price for their home when it went to sell. And Sharona says that that was great, right? But at the same time, they have to pay that $10,000 back on the back end. So she was just kind of trusting Wes that the work he put in would be worth it.
It was a little scary, but he sent us weekly, I think, reports on how home sales were going in our area. So we knew we were on the right track. And so, you know, my husband and I are not big on debt.
Good.
But you know, we had to be in debt to get the things done that we needed done. So it was just a lot of praying, like, Lord, just please let this happen. And then trusting that Wes knew exactly what he was talking about and that he would come through in the end, which he did.
Yeah, he was able to get their home sold for over list price in 6 days. So, I mean, like she said, I mean, she was so impressed with just the communication, his knowledge, his ability that he came in and managed all those projects for them. So it was really a stress-free situation. So check out sellwithwest.com, sellwithwest.com. Go see some of the other real estate agents, ask them what they have to offer. But I think that you'll find that Wes Jones and his team have, between their marketing strategy, the Listing Boost concierge service, they have stuff you're just not going to find anywhere else. Sellwithwest.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, really quick, because this speaks to how we started the show with, you know, RFK Jr.'s assertion that the media are acting as the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party. It is 100% true. It's undeniable. I won't even debate anyone on it because there's nothing to debate. It is absolutely true. So J.D. Vance did an interview. Was this ABC News? Hold on. Sorry. I got to look at it quick. What is it? NBC? Oh, yeah. Meet the Press. Sorry. And he was asked about everyone's favorite topic to ask any Republican about. Abortion. They can't really ask him about Trump because, like, he's on his ticket. So, like, you know how he's going to answer that question.
They love to say that he hasn't always supported Trump. He was an ever Trumper.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was.
I know.
That's fine. So anyway, Kristen Welker asks him about the issue of abortion. Here's the clip.
Democrats made the case this week and beyond this week that Donald Trump, if elected, will impose a federal ban on abortion if he wins. Now, Donald Trump says he won't, but can you commit, Senator, sitting right here with me today, that if you and Donald Trump are elected, that you will not impose a federal ban on abortion?
I can absolutely commit that, Kristen, and Donald Trump has been as clear about that as possible. I think it's important to step back and say, what has Donald Trump actually said on the abortion question, and how is it different from what Kamala Harris and the Democrats have said? Donald Trump wants to end this culture war over this particular topic. If California wants to have a different abortion policy from Ohio, then Ohio has to respect California and California has to respect Ohio. Donald Trump's view is that we want the individual states and their individual cultures and their unique political sensibilities to make these decisions because we don't want to have a nonstop federal conflict over this issue. The federal government ought to be focused on getting food prices down, getting housing prices down, issues, of course, where Kamala Harris has been a total disaster. So I think Donald Trump is right. We want the federal government to focus on these big economic and immigration questions. Let the states figure out their own abortion policy.
Let me just follow up with you a little bit on that point, because I've been talking to Republicans, including Senator Lindsey Graham just last week, who've made it very clear that if Donald Trump is elected, if you are elected, they will continue to press this point. Senator Graham said to me, I'm going to keep saying that there should be a federal ban. If such a piece of legislation landed on Donald Trump's desk, would he veto it?
Well, I think it'd be very clear he would not support it. I mean, he said that explicitly. Yeah, I mean, if you're not supporting it as the president of the United States, you fundamentally have to veto it.
So he would veto a federal abortion ban?
I think he would. He said that explicitly, that he would.
Yeah, it's insane because she even says it there in her initial question, right? Her initial question says, Donald Trump has said he wouldn't do this, but will you tell me he wouldn't do this? So one of the things that stands out to me is, again, that's the media acting like the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party wants Republicans to be continually pressed on the issue of abortion. They want the issue of abortion to continually be on the news, to be everywhere, because they know if Americans are tricked into focusing on abortion and being scared about abortion, they're not going to look at what's happening at the southern border. They're not going to look at the crime crisis. They're not going to look at the affordability crisis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because on all those issues, they lose. On all of those issues, they lose. On abortion, if you're focused on that and you're scaring people about that, you're scaring women who live in the suburbs about that, swing voters on that, that's where they want the focus and the energy. And the media does it for them. It multiple times, she almost wouldn't take no for an answer. Yeah, but, oh, well, he says he won't do it, but will he? Well, he said he won't do it. Well, will you use the word veto? It's like, well, you're asking me about whether Donald Trump, someone who's not me, will veto something that may or may not even come to his desk. And so she's creating this whole scenario in her mind and is absolutely doing the bidding of the Democratic Party in the process. The very same thing The very same thing is happening here. We talked about at the top of the show, the parody, the similarities between what's happening at the national level and in Washington state. The media is incessant with Dave Reichert on the abortion issue, which he's been asked and answered a million times. I am not going to overturn the will of voters who 50 years ago decided this issue. And if in some crazy universe, Republicans in Washington state gained control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office and wanted to float some sort of abortion restriction, I would send it to voters for them to vote on because they voted on it initially. He's been asked it a million times, but they continue to bring it up. And I guarantee you, what is the bet I want to take today? I still haven't given you your steak dinner. I don't know. I'll wear a MAGA hat on the show.
If
in the King 5 Seattle Times debate on September 10th, they do not bring up the issue of abortion. If they don't bring up the issue of abortion, I'll wear a Make America Great Again hat on the show. Because they absolutely will, even though it's been asked and answered. Because they're doing the bidding of the Democratic Party, and there's nothing that Bob Ferguson would love more than to have the A word muttered at the first gubernatorial debate. It's like, how many times do you have to ask a candidate a question and have him answer it on the record before you move on to other questions? Like, I don't know, Bob Ferguson's failed 12 years as attorney general. So that's the bet. Are we keeping track of bets somewhere?
Like, I'm going to start.
I mean,
now.
People We're won't let us forget.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I've got the steak dinner bets. I have the steak dinner bet with you that I already lost. So I owe you steak dinner. Mm-hmm. I bet every single viewer and subscriber that I would buy all of them steak dinners if Donald Trump wins Washington.
That's why you're like, please vote Kennedy.
Please vote Kennedy. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, vote Kennedy, okay? Which would bankrupt me if I have to buy all of you guys freaking steak dinners, but I'm that confident, and I don't want to wear a MAGA hat because a picture of it will be used from now until the end of time to vilify me. But if King 5 and the Seattle Times don't bring up abortion, which they shouldn't because it's been asked and answered a million times, then I will wear a Make America Great Again hat on the show the day after. I won't be here the day after the debate. The next week, okay?
Who are those moderators? Ridiculous. I wonder if they're watching right now and they're like, we're gonna get Brandy.
I already know how this debate is gonna play out. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, we're gonna get to questions, comments, daily subscriber show poll in our closing sanity check coming up in a moment. First, who is managing your retirement portfolio? And ask yourself, you know, as big events happen around the world, as big events happen in the United States, are they, first of all, keeping track of all of that, responding accordingly, and keeping you informed? And are they managing your risk? Like, look, there's always risk involved, right? But you don't need to take on unnecessary risk, especially when you only get one retirement and you've worked very, very hard for it. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer at Bulwer Capital, he also hosts the Know Your Risk radio podcast. This is what they specialize in. It is their number one focus, risk management, because they know you only get one retirement. They also have something called their Common Sense Investing Guide, CENTS. I just think that's so creative. Common Sense Investing Guide, where you can learn about Bulwark Management's risk management's strategy. You can get that by going to knowyourriskradio.com. knowyourriskradio.com. And I think one thing that Zach has shown while he comes on the show every Thursday is just he's a very realistic guy. And he says it like it is. And that's how they are when it comes to money management is, you know, they're tracking all of these things. They're keeping tabs on the political environment, on the environment globally and all, you know, global unrest, all of this. And they are factoring that into how they manage your money because they want to make sure, like, yes, there's some risk involved, that your retirement is not at the whim of unnecessary risk. So knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. Any references to performance of securities are thought to be materially accurate and actual performances may differ. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Truck 24308. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. I asked you guys, does the endorsement of RFK Jr. make Donald Trump more appealing or less appealing as a candidate? Nicole, what do you think? More appealing or less appealing?
Oh, I'd say more.
Oh, okay. Why? because you just crapped all over independence earlier on the show.
Well, no, because I think that we're all, I mean, it's not like RFK was a big fan of Donald.
Yeah,
so
he's coming
I think
around.
That it's this, you know, I agree that he is going to do less damage to our country than the alternative choice.
Yeah, and the only reason I ask this, because it might seem like an obvious question to our viewers in particular, is Trey Gowdy on Fox News, I was watching a segment where he's almost like livid that RFK Jr. would be like considered for a cabinet post, you know, and because he was a Democrat just a couple blinks ago, you know, and so he's concerned that there's this whole push towards this unity government and Tulsi Gabbard, will she be part of it? And he almost suggested like, oh, now we're going to give like Democrats spots in Trump's cabinet as opposed to conservatives. So that's kind of was my thought, is some Republicans might be upset that like Trump's watering down, you know, how conservative his cabinet would be to bring these people in. But I'm thinking,
addition
mm-hmm. is the most powerful tool mm-hmm. for a political party. When you can in a meaningful way add to not necessarily your base, because these people are never going to be Trump's base, but when you can add to the people who are willing to support you for the good of the country, that's a win to me.
And by Trump support, I mean, Trump has said very nice things about him as well. So it's obvious that he supports
some independent thinkers.
They both did.
I know.
But that's what I mean. They both came around and they're like, wait, we have more things in common than we do different.
I saw this great Jesse Waters on Fox. Mm-hmm. It's like one of their roundtable shows, you know, mm-hmm. and they always have like the token Democrat who's like mm-hmm. there to, you know, and she was bringing up the things Donald Trump had said about RFK Jr. like during when he launched his campaign, like the Democrats can have him, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And Jesse Waters had this great retort. He's like, yeah, but Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist and then she joined his ticket. So you just kind of do that in politics.
That's the way
and
it
then
works.
She had this like brain like malfunction where she couldn't even respond to it. It was so good.
Typical.
All right. George says neither. He doesn't, in his mind, it doesn't really change his opinion of Donald Trump. Jeff says it does absolutely nothing for me in the appeal category, but I know his endorsement will bring some independents into the Trump camp. So the vote here is more. Let me see here. Brandon Ferris, as to whether the endorsement of RFK makes Donald Trump more appealing or less, he says way, way more. To see ex-Democrats coming to endorse him should tell you how bad the state of Democrats has truly gotten. And this is what we really need in our state. We need a Democrat, because I, frankly, I'm not going to name names, but I talk to Democrats all the time who despise Bob Ferguson, mm-hmm. who see him as this power hungry, will do anything to get to the governor's office. You know, will be anyone, will, you know, shapeshifter. They
it's
see him for what he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they won't come out and say it. Oh, they won't come out and endorse Dave Ryker.
They'll do the opposite. They'll endorse him anyway.
Well, we had on, and I'll call him to the carpet right now, because I already had the conversation with him on the show, Federal Way Mayor Jim Farrell,
mm-hmm.
who I had on this show in a series about truth tellers, because he was absolutely bucking his party. He used to be a Republican, then he became a Democrat. So he's kind of a moderate, I think, by nature.
Yep.
But he was bucking his party on the police pursuit issue, on public safety, homelessness, et cetera, et cetera. And he absolutely would say it seemed like he didn't care about political party at all. And he was very unhappy with the Democrats. And then the Democrats screwed him over in his race for King County prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob Ferguson, who they went to college together, Bob Ferguson didn't endorse him in his race for King County prosecutor, but he stayed out of it, even though people wanted him to endorse Lisa Mannion. Uh-huh. So that was like some gracious gift, like, oh, college friend, I'll stay out of it. Jim Farrell turned around and endorsed Bob Ferguson. Remember when I found out about that on the show and Jim Farrell's on and I was like,
yes.
He
literally said it'll come in handy for me later.
Well, I didn't say that.
No, he did.
What?
And Jim said that. He said, I have to do it because it will, like, if he gets it, I'm convinced he's going to get in that role and that way I can, I'll be.
He did
able
say something to that effect.
Him.
It wasn't quite that much of an admission, but he basically said, like, I have come to believe that he's going to win. So we definitely took that to mean, like, oh, you want to be close.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Ferguson as a Democrat is the antithesis of who Jim Farrell has been as a Democrat. And so it's almost like this, you don't want to anger the guy, you don't want to be on his bad side, or you think he'll be governor, and so you want to kind of ingratiate yourself to him or whatever. There are so many, and I almost want to name you all. God, I don't want to name you all, but I do not break confidences. And if you tell me something in private, I'm not going to talk about it on my show. because it's not the person I am.
But the scariest part is they're scared of him, and that's why they're right. doing it. They're scared of
him. Have you seen the guy? He scares you.
Yeah, I know.
It's like,
right. But
it's insane.
But he's that manipulative and backstabbing and right. vindictive, and they're all scared of him. So they're like, well, gotta endorse him. He's probably gonna get it anyway.
Take a page from RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, Marianne Williamson, who, I mean, RFK Jr. has is willing to sacrifice his relationship with 80% of his family to tell mm-hmm. the truth about the current state of the Democratic
his
Party.
His wife and to came say, out. Yeah,
it's just insane. Mm-hmm. And you have Democrats here in the state who know how bad, you know, look at me. Not you, but mm-hmm. you can look at me too. Look at me. You know how bad Bob Ferguson will be for this state. You know that all the worst impulses of the Democratic Party in this state will be completely unhindered under his leadership. And you won't say what you know is true out of some sense of fear for yourself, your own political futures, whatever it is, and you'll let this state fall victim to that because you're not willing to speak the truth. And there are a few people who I give passes from that. Mark Mullett came on the show a million times and said a lot about Bob Ferguson, so I give him credit for doing that. He's certainly not Bob Ferguson's number one fan, and I imagine that might come back to bite him. You don't think Bob Ferguson's going to do something in retribution? Probably. But he did it anyway, even knowing that. So I would like to see more Democrats go that route and say, this is so bad, and it would mean more coming from me as a Democrat to tell people that I've just got to do it for the sake of our state. Anyway, I'm so off track today. I just wake up. Wake up, people. Not you guys, of course. I'm never talking about you. Bill Bayes with the $20 Super Chat. Brandy, you were right about the magnitude of the 2117 anti-initiative response. It looks like the fear-mongering Defend WAW is spending more than twice the amount as Let's Go Washington in order to defeat the initiative. Yeah, they want to make you, this another example of the Democratic Party lies. Oh, rich guy backing these initiatives, rich man bad, and then they take $1 million from Bill Gates. They take money from Nick Hanauer, and then they're like, oh, but this rich money is fine. You see what I'm saying here? Like, it's just so disingenuous, and they're spending, it's more than twice. It's way more than twice, because the anti-folks, they have PACs against each of the initiatives. And Let's Go Washington is just one effort to support all the initiatives. So there's millions and millions of dollars more coming in from rich Democrats to make sure you vote no, which you're not going to, right? You, but vote yes, pay less. Tell all your neighbors, vote yes, pay less. Kathy Carr with a $9.99 Super Chat. Fantastic show today. I'm glad you feel that way because I felt really off the rails earlier. We never start the show with big, long, ranty conversations, but I, you know. Russell said, new laptop, Brandy? No?
Your sticker's gone.
Where's my sticker?
I didn't notice it until he said it too. Did somebody steal your sticker off your laptop at the event we were at?
Where's my sticker? You guys, I don't know if I have any left.
But wait, you really didn't take it off?
No.
What the heck?
Oh my goodness. Maybe it fell off. It's been there for
actually,
a while.
It wasn't on there when I took it out of the car the other day. So, wow.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll find it. Thank you. I didn't even, holy smokes. All right, Matthew Cook, $5 Super Chat. Democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. Yeah, that's always a good quote. Let me see. Rick E., didn't Bob sue companies for price fixing food prices, i.e. chicken checks?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I have to quit. How did I not tie
that
together?
It didn't
he
click
literally
in my head
sued
either.
For price fixing.
Yep.
You have to respond to his office then, because that is... He's in favor yep. of price fixing because he fought against it, but like
yeah.
he sued over price fixing. So we deserve to know why he would sue over it, but support a presidential candidate who wants to price fix.
Yeah, they're gonna say campaign. I'm trying to figure out a way.
He doesn't even know how he feels about price fixing.
Doesn't.
He's just like, what can help me politically?
But that should be asked in the debate,
Rick. God, no.
If they're gonna ask about Trump support from Reichert,
yes.
they should ask about.
Yeah.
So Harris support
Do you support
from
price
Ferguson
fixing?
And price fixing.
I feel like I've really let you guys down today. How could I not
I know we both missed that.
Have made that connection. Thanks, thank God for Rick. David Poland, how do we get a free media again since owners were pretty much forced to sell out all radio, TV, and newspapers? You watch shows like the Undivided Podcast. We're like a bird and I want to fly away. So we're free. Free bird. Free birds. Shirley Lopez, if Harris is elected, this statement from RFK will never become relevant. It can only be significant if we change direction. That definitely plays into it. Barbara Otter, RFK endorsing Trump should wake a lot of people up. There is no longer a Democratic Party. The establishment is evil. RFK is doing the right thing. And I will say this again. I am supporting Republicans out of convenience in 2024. I am supporting Republicans because I believe in one thing, balance. I believe we need balance in the state of Washington to stop some of the worst ideas. Now, I agree with Republicans on a lot of issues. I'm not saying I dislike Republicans. I'm not saying I dislike Democrats either. There are some issues I agree with Democrats on. But right now in this state, the thing ailing us is the Democratic Party. So I've said this at Republican events. They are a means to an end to one party rule. And you can bet your asses that if Republicans, even Dave Reichert, who I endorse, if he gets into the governor's office, he's going to get the same treatment I have given to people in power my entire journalistic career. You don't think that we're going to question the things he says and the things he does? Like, I want some balance. I want him to be able to be in there and veto all the insane stuff that's happening. But hell, if he's in there and he doesn't veto something I think he should have, you think we're not going to talk about it on this show? You're not going to get special treatment. I want you to get into office to be a check on the Democratic Party. That doesn't mean I love you. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to ever, you know, challenge or question the things that you say. You were giving me a weird look during that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you expecting?
No, I'm watching people.
Oh.
No, I'm watching people react. It's all good.
Sometimes I look at you and you like have a surprise look and I'm like, am I saying something I shouldn't say? Sometimes
people surprise me.
Am I saying something I shouldn't say? Feel free to read them off if you see them. Jeff, of course Nicole would put this one in.
Oh, I put one in for you because I knew you would say that too. I just led with mine.
Nicole gets to pick the comments that end up in the show sheet. Jeff Eklund says, Nicole is spot on. A fraction of America agrees on dissimilar views on various topics and improbable to derail the political business in D.C. Remember, Washington, D.C. is all about government officials making lots of money off of taxpayers. It's a money-making machine. It's a big business. I agree. I think we can cut into that big business a little bit. Sheila Lavin, I love your ideas, Brandy, about the third party. It would be wonderful, but I'm so afraid that if we take votes away from Trump, it'll be a guarantee for Harris. This year is not the year to do it. The only place is, again, if you're in a swing state, even RFK Jr. said, do not do that. Right. Don't vote. You can't vote for me. He took his name off the ballot.
Right.
But in a state like Washington, Harris is getting, we don't divide up the delegates or the electoral votes, rather, sorry. Mm-hmm. She'll get all 12. It's not like, oh, well, three of them will go to Trump. And no, that's not how it works. So there's a reason why I made a bet that would probably cost me $100,000 that I don't have, because I recognize that it's very, very improbable Trump will even come close to winning in Washington state. Baron of Gray Matter, $5 super chat. Sorry, but most NPCs vote blue. What's an NPC? Person of color?
No.
What is an NPC? Is this something I should know?
Maybe you would know.
Non-player character? That's what Google tells me. No, I don't know what that is. Most NPCs are vote blue no matter who, and the feckless Republicans offer nothing exciting to wake up the NPCs to vote their way. Vote yes. The only thing I think of is like
party,
something...
non-political candidate? Non-party candidates? I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody will tell me. Tegan. Hi, Tegan. I love the banter. You guys can disagree, still be friends, and work together. Maybe others could learn... Oh, no. She's fired after the show. I haven't fake-fired Nicole in a while. So.
Non-player character.
That's what I just said, but that doesn't make any sense.
Is it from a video game? Did we talk about this before? It's like a video game terminology or something?
Non-playable
character.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, moving on. Good questions and comments today, per the usual. All right, our closing sanity check speaks to the way we began our show. Let's get to it. So again, I think voices that are willing to speak up about what's happening with the Democratic Party, all of them matter, whether you are far, far right, centrist and independent, someone who maybe there's an expectation that you'd speak out about Democrats, all that is important. But what's even more important is for liberals to do it, is for people who have been lifelong Democrats to do it because it hits different. And I say this on the show all the time. You know, there are some news stories that I'd rather have an outlet like King 5 or Seattle Times talk about than me, because like I'm preaching to an audience that already, for instance, doesn't like Bob Ferguson or whatever it is. So John Stewart, he had a segment. We're going to play the whole minute of it. Yeah, where he is,
I cut out some of the clapping and laughter and all that.
Oh, good. Okay. Where he is saying exactly what needs to be said about the Democratic Party, the DNC, and Kamala Harris.
They had a guy yelling, "Screw the billionaires," followed immediately by "a very happy billionaire." They had guys making fun of people for going to Yale, and a bunch of people who went to Yale. The Democrats had people who prosecuted sexual predators and...
Yeah, those are some inconsistencies, and I'm very glad that Jon Stewart pointed them out to his audience in particular. That has been your sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you subscribers. We are going to have our monthly live Q&A coming up this week, so be on the lookout for that. We've also got a couple candidate interviews that we're going to drop on Patreon and Locals, so also be on the lookout for those. In the meantime, if you have not become a subscriber already, please do so. You can sign up for just $5 a month to support our work, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. And I would also be remiss if I did not say we are very short on Common Sense 2024 inventory. Very short. We only got smalls and mediums left. So we have slashed prices.
And hats.
And we've got hats, but we didn't slash the prices on the hats, okay? But we've slashed prices. You can check out our merch store, undividedpod.com. 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 We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.